T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
It's time to get the morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome back to the Kia Studios on this Tuesday. John Hugh and the crew on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we continue the countdown to what will be the opening of college football on Saturday, the opening of Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Saturday, and the Mayweather-McGregor fight on Saturday. And this is that big August 26th that we have talked about with you at length. And here it is on the 22nd of August, and that weekend is looming. And I have to firm up my plans for Saturday. But boy, I got to tell you, we're going to be at the stadium on Friday, broadcasting live all day at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, our show, followed by Rick and John, followed by Dukes and Bell. This is going to be, you know, this is the great fun thing about being a sports fan, is that when this time of the season happens, you have the Braves at home, Atlanta United's playing tomorrow, and here come the Falcons at Mercedes-Benz. It's going to be so much fun to get this season rolling, college football and everything. I am just gassed.
Yeah, but y'all better make sure y'all make the proper preparation for parking. Couldn't get all them peas out, because it's going to be a lot going on, man. So you better make sure that you have all the best ways to get to the stadium all mapped out. Because I anticipate a lot of people going to be there Saturday. It's going to be packed.
Yeah, going to be packed, right? Which, for a preseason game, think about, well, because it's just the biggest preseason game in the history of the Falcons. I don't remember the first preseason game at the Georgia Dome. I remember the opening game at the Georgia Dome, but I don't remember the first preseason game. I don't think there was quite the hype that there was for Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I think that's partial because even though we were going into a dome at the time back in 92, Hugh, we didn't have social media. And you know, to hype up everything, it was a big deal, but not quite like this, I don't think.
Well, I think it has to do with the steps, the progression of the stadium. People got to see it on social media. Now it's the finished product. Now you want to see what it looks like. You know, you've seen all these steps from its inception to now, and now people just want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of that, be the first. Kind of like that new car smell. You want to be the first to, like, you know, sit on those leather seats and whatnot.
The Falcons getting ready for the Arizona Cardinals in their first preseason home game. Again, first game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium Saturday evening. Practices continuing yesterday at Flowery Branch. The evaluation period continues as well for Dan Quinn, who is trying to work his way through some of the battles that are going on for roster spots on this team.
We're trying, like hell, to feature different guys and what roles they can or cannot do. And so that's part of going through that process together that we're still looking.
Yeah, well, when he says that, you know what he's referring to, don't you? You're referring to, can you find somebody who can block for your punter? Can you find somebody who can tackle on a punt return? The more you can do, And so, you know, whether you're the sixth wide receiver, the third running back, or the last guy to make the roster at a certain position, you're probably going to have to show out on special teams, because right now the big issue on this team has been special teams have not been good. Well, you know, obviously, you know, the kicking's pretty good. You've got two great kickers. But the protection units and the return units have not been good so far. I mean, Roberts has shown something, but overall, it's been a bit of a struggle. The team did release an unofficial depth chart yesterday, and that depth chart showed Ben Garland is the number one right guard, but just because it's unofficial and just because they released a depth chart that said Ben Garland's number one doesn't mean it's a lock.
I thought from a preparation standpoint, I'd rather go through a couple of days here and then see how their week goes. It's kind of that close to say who's battling for it.
He says what? It's totally up in the air. Even though Garland's listed at one ahead of Schweitzer, it's a dead even battle. We'll see who starts on Saturday against the Arizona Cardinals.
Probably Ben Garland. He's going to get the most time. And then West is probably going to play a lot in the next game. But if Ben Garland is the guy on the depth chart, you'd be coaches really don't change too much from that. They don't deviate too much from that, unless it's probably the running back position with Devontae Freeman, you know, probably still in concussion protocol. Now, don't know for sure, but, you know, with him having that concussion, he probably won't be out there playing. But you're not going to deviate too much from that. You're not.
Well, having said that, this is a an unofficial depth chart that came out for the Falcons. There are a couple of things that are interesting. Garland being number one at right guard. At the running back spot behind Devontae and Tevin, the number three spot is occupied. No surprise that Teron Ward, the veteran, what he's done the first couple of games is ahead of Brian Hill, who's listed at number four. And, of course, a lot of people think that Brian Hill's going to have to do something really special now to try to make this team because Teron Ward's flat out played him. He's just been a much better running back. He's a veteran and what have you. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't keep Brian Hill maybe on the practice squad, but right now Teron Ward's got the upper hand.
He's played well. He's taking advantage of his situations. I mean, John, and to be fair, John, we don't know how they're evaluating these players. Maybe Brian is having great practices, but when the lights come on, it's not coming together for him. I mean, the one thing that sticks out to me with Coach Quinn especially is they evaluate everything, not just the way you play in the games. So they might like what they have. They might like him at running back, but it's just not clicking for him on game day. And part of that is because when he was running with that second team line, the line didn't block that well. So there are some intangibles in there that they might be looking at. They might factor those in there. So you just never know. It's one of those things that at the end of the day, when they cut some players off this team, John, they're going to cut some good players. There's no question about that.
No question of that. That's evident if you look at this depth chart. They're going to be cutting good players. We're talking about some of the headlines this morning. You can hurry into McDonald's for our Minute Maid slushies. Choose from any of the new flavors, fruit punch, cherry limeade, orangeade, starting at just $1 at McDonald's. As you get ready for your day, can be another hot one out there today, and a Minute Maid slushie from McDonald's might just hit the spot for only $1 at McDonald's. You know, one of the other things, it's an unofficial depth chart that the team released, but if you look at the depth chart as it sits right now, for example, at one defensive end, Brooks Reed is listed 1, Adrian Claiborne is listed 2, Tack McKinley is listed 3, again, he's only played 10 plays, and Jatarius Jones, another undrafted free agent, is listed at 4, and Jatarius Jones has been really kind of impressive, I would say, in the first couple of games. And so he's a guy that's kind of jumped off the page. But, boy, you look at and we don't know about the rotations. And so I don't know I put a whole lot of stock into a depth chart on defense in terms of 1 versus 2. But, boy, you're too deep at all these positions when you start looking at the guys that are listed at the twos, like Claiborne and Crawford and Hageman and Shelby and Jack Lynn's played really well, and Leroy Reynolds, Duke Riley and Brian Poole, I mean, Kamal Ishmael, these are the guys that are listed at number 2. That's what we're talking about with this depth on this defense.
Yeah, it looks pretty deep. The thing that really stuck out to me was you got Brooks Reed starting on this depth chart. Your right defensive end, you got Dontari Poe, Grady Jarrett, and Courtney Upshaw. Vic Beasley's your outside linebacker, weak side linebacker, if you will, on this depth chart. Deion Jones and Devondre Campbell. Now, when you talk about the depth that they have, Duke Riley's played well, that you'll probably see him a lot more when the season starts. So as far as like their fronts and everything, this is the beauty thing that I see when I look at this Falcons defense. You have two defensive ends in Courtney Upshaw and Brooks Reed that have linebacker ability. I would say that if you were going to slide into a 3-4 front, you would probably put Courtney Upshaw at the DN spot because he's a little bit heavier than Brooks Reed. But you can slide Brooks Reed out to that fourth linebacker, and you can play the way your team is lined up up front, you can slide in and out of different fronts. And you look at that secondary with the size of the guys that you have back there. You can slide in and out of your fronts. And you can confuse a lot of teams offensively defensively. When they look at you up front and have to designate who's going to be the rusher in certain situations. Because you got guys back there that know how to come off the corner and blitz.
Talking about the Falcons, and in a few minutes, about 14 minutes, we're going to look at the Falcons' home schedule this year and tell you which is the most difficult game the Falcons face this season at home in the regular season. But the Braves are at home, and the difficult game they faced last night was the Seattle Mariners were in town, and the Braves saw the Mariners strike early.
Deep drive, right field, and it bangs off the wall. Another RBI, and the Mariner lead goes to 6-2.
That was Cairo Radio in Seattle, and Yonder Alonso's RBI scored three RBI hit and made it 6-2. Now the Braves battled back. Ozzie Albies, in the sixth inning, cut into that Seattle lead.
Fly ball pretty well hit. Martin on the run in straightaway center. He's not going to get it. He slips and slides on the warning track. He falls to the seat of his pants. Ozzie on his way to third. He's going to stop there with a two-run triple.
Chip Carey on Fox Sports South. The Braves fall to the Seattle Mariners 6-5. Ozzie Albies had another good solid night. He and again with Dansby Swanson, those two seem to be settling in a little bit. And for the manager, Brian Snicker, having this youngster Albies up is proving to be really beneficial to the club.
This is first crack at major league pitching, and regardless of how good you do there and you get up here, you might find, well, I might need to do something a little different to succeed here. And he's working hard to do that. And the last few days I've seen, you know, good results. I mean, because like, he's an exciting little player. He's got skills and can do a lot of things. So he's continuing to work, and he realizes it, and, which is a great thing.
Boy, I tell you what, it's exciting to see Albies. And he mentioned little player. He's a little guy. He's a not very big guy, but boy, he's got some pop in that bat for a little guy.
Yeah, and it's good to see the young players doing well. But last night, the story was Mike Foltynewicz didn't really have a great night last night. He's at least given up 5 earned runs in 4 of his past 5 starts, and he struggled with controlling his breaking ball last night. So he was in a little bit of trouble last night. But they think it's all mental for him. And it's nothing mechanical.
Yeah, here's what Fulton never said about his struggles.
Definitely a combination. You know, when you get hit around like that out there, you know, multiple times in a row, it's, you know, it definitely does something to your confidence. It's a game you have to forget about things, and, you know, it's, you know, I have in the past, but, you know, it's kind of tough when, you know, things like this keep happening. But, you know, it's, like I said, it's a game you have to forget things, and I'm, you know, trying really hard to put all this in the past and, you know, just focus on my bullpens and, you know, the days in between just to get better.
Now I see what Mike Foltynewicz has. Lucas Sims will be on the mound for the Braves tonight as they take on the Mariners again at SunTrust Park. As we look at the headlines, the NFL last night had a yawner of a Monday night game. If you are so inclined to be interested in the final score, we'll give it to you. Cleveland beat the New York Football Giants 10-6 was the final score. A couple of highlights from this game in a 10-6 Browns win. Myles Garrett, the number one pick of the NFL draft, got on the board.
Look out! Myles Garrett makes his presence known with a sack.
Yeah, it's the first sack of Myles Garrett's. Well, I guess I was going to say the first sack of his career, but actually it doesn't really count. So it's not really.
You can say his first sack as a professional football player.
Oh, there you go. That's a good way to put it.
I mean, you know, it's a sack. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't count for nothing.
ESPN with the call again. 10-6 Browns win. And in this game, Myles Garrett gets his first sack as a professional football player. And DeShone Kizer comes into the game and does this.
On third and goal, Kizer using his big frame, 6'4", 233 pounds, for a Cleveland touchdown.
DeShone Kizer, the former Notre Dame quarterback, getting in and leading the Browns to a touchdown. And now they're, you know, people are saying that, you know, there isn't an active, right now Osweiler is your starter, but DeShone Kizer is your future. So that'll be interesting to kind of monitor. Maybe the Cleveland Browns, Hugh, maybe, just maybe, the Cleveland Browns, I'm not saying now, but I'm just saying in the future, have finally gotten a quarterback.
Maybe. They like him. They like Brock Osweiler. And the one thing about Brock is, you know, that when he faces some adversity, he tends to turtle up a little bit. So he's not going to be facing it anytime soon in Cleveland. Now, DeShone Kizer might be the future, but I don't think that there's any threat of him being on the field this year.
Brock's got to get more accurate, because watching his he appeared to be making the right reads, mm-hmm. and he had control of the offense. You can tell that they're kind of taking to him. He's showing some leadership, but he missed a lot of passes, and even some of the ones he completed last night were behind guys and not when you wanted to be throwing behind. So he's got to get a little more accurate, because he had Njoku open across a seam pass, and he airmailed it. So Brock's got to get a little more accurate, or he will be seeing a lot of that bench, and Kizer will be the guy on the field.
The other big story from last night was injuries for the New York Giants. There was everybody is a big blue fan was holding their breath when Odell Beckham got hit and knocked to the turf.
Manning wide open, Beckham and then chopped down. Boy, Giant fans have to take a deep breath when they see that hit, and Beckham didn't like it. He spun the ball at three and body Calhoun after that chop to the knees.
Wasn't that hurt? Turned out to be a sprain, Hugh. He kind of drama queened everybody by going into the locker room.
It wasn't that hurt. It turned out to be a sprain.
It wasn't a break or anything.
But it was a sprain.
Come on, man. If this was Julio before. Jones, you'd be in here revolting this morning.
Seeing what I never seen before.
Stop it.
Sky high.
All I know is it's a legal hit, so.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.